Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Thank you, Jeremy, for our prelude. Good morning. And we have bright skies and a little bit of sun. That is wonderful to greet us this morning. For those on radio, WPHM, for those on simulcast, same time, but on the internet, no radio, as well as those on the internet who will hear us on a podcast, probably within an hour or so. God's grace be with us in our gathering this day. Just acknowledge we have another anonymous donor from this community, not of the city of Port Huron, but from St. Clair, who has been listening to us for several years, she indicates, and she wanted to be part of sponsoring some more, but with her identity hidden, so it's hidden. She is an anonymous one. We greatly appreciate her gift. The flowers this day by Dan and Linda Solier. Many do not know, but they had a son, Travis, born to them, and he passed away early in his life. And then Linda's mother, Donna Bonick, that's to recognize those special people in Dan and Linda's life. So the flowers are beautiful. And of all things, this is kind of ironical. And we appreciate Lori Parker. She's probably going to hear this podcast. But she's donated the flowers. And I'm not going to say she's in Port Huron, but Florida looks great this time of the year. Is that kind of wink, wink? She's down there, we're up here, and she's helping us take care of snow removal. These last 4 days I've been having many long conversations with our members. Talked to Jerry Willard. He's listening to us last week and will be this week. He is at a hospital in Pontiac and recovering from knee surgery. They removed the whole knee, put spacers in. He hopes to come back and allow it to heal a little bit before they want to operate again and then install the new prosthesis of a knee. So different technique. Talked to him yesterday for some time, and he's doing well. His wife, Ann, is going to go see him again today. So looking forward to his recovery and the therapy that will take place for him. Trying to think. Also talked to Shirley McLean yesterday, getting more dotting the I's, crossing the T's. For March 21st, that'll be the memorial service that Thursday at 11 a.m. here at Our Savior for Doug McLean. And they will be in town the day, they'll be traveling to us the day before, so the Wednesday. And the memorial service and the meal will follow for them, okay? This is the last Sunday of the season of Epiphany. It is a Sunday set aside and so named by the scripture readings of the day, Transfiguration Sunday. Now, a lot of people don't think about that as anything special, but the revelation that God has made to us through his Son is expressed in the gospel text, so listen carefully. Our worship begins with the confession of sin. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us and forms us, who redeems us and calls us, who unites us and then sends us. Amen. Gathered into God's presence, let us confess our sin. Almighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We seek our own way. We divide the body of Christ. In your mercy, cleanse us and heal us. The words of our mouths, the thoughts of our hearts, and everything that we do be filled with faith, hope, and love. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim to the captives release. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven and that you are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of the praise is on the next page, Surely the Presence. We sing. The Lord be with you. If you'll please join me in the prayer of the day, we'll pray together. Holy God and mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, and yet we see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform us into the likeness of your Son, who renewed our humanity so that we may share in his divinity. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we listen to God's word. First reading by Judy.
Good morning. First reading comes from Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. I'm going to read the second reading, which comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting with the 12th verse. Since then we have such a hope, we act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened indeed to this very day when they hear the reading of the old covenant. That same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is a spirit, and when the spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Another one of the flock is sick at home, and that's Tony. If you're able to stand, gospel acclamation, we will say together. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Hallelujah. The gospel text for the day, Luke, 9th chapter, beginning with the 28th verse. To you, O Lord. Now, about 8 days after these sayings that Jesus spoke, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James. They went up on the mountain to pray, and while he was praying, the Lord Jesus, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah. They were talking to Jesus. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in the city of Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they did see his glory and the two men who stood with Jesus. And just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here. So let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he had said. And while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. They were terrified as they entered that cloud. And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus found to be alone. So they kept silent in those days, told no one any of the things that they had seen. Now on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them. And just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks and convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and with scarcely leave him. "So I begged your disciples to cast him out, but they couldn't do it." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And when he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and he healed the boy. He gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Once again, those on podcast, radio, or simulcast, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. And may the words of our meditation and our prayers open us up to God speaking to us in this day in 2019. If you like the outline, tracing the verses that I have selected to raise up before you, Exodus is our first lesson. If you follow the actual scripture, page 5 in the service folder. Most of us, even when I quiz the confirmants, who stood before God for Israel? Youth know it's Moses, but not by Cecil B. DeMille's version, but by an animation version of called The Prince of Egypt. I don't know if any of you saw that or saw it with kids or grandkids. But nonetheless, the figure of Israel, I guess the epitome of a prophet, was Moses. He was the link of God to humankind. And in the course of that, whenever he approached God, he had to unveil himself to have full discourse with God and hear the word of the Lord, and as you know, receive the Ten Commandments. The Hebrews call it the Decalogue, which means, in the background of the word, it means the 10 words of God. Thou shalt not, thou shalt, and a whole course of things by which a moral and a spiritual life should be lived by. Moses comes down to the people. He explains to the leadership, who are afraid of him because he looks different. Anybody looks different, everybody does a second gaze and try not to look at it, but they do. So he covers his face and he goes back. He explains, "I'm having a conversation with God. And I'm bringing to you the word of the Lord." He goes back up to the mountain, covers and uncovers his face. He continues and comes back to the people. God had chosen Moses way before most of us. And like even the Old Testament prophets who follow Moses, even before Moses knew God, God chose Moses. Now, if that doesn't bog your brain, you understand those things are God's choice, who will be his spokespeople. Jeremiah says, I was in my mother's womb, and he conceived, and he chose me. David, king of Israel, declares that my choice by God was not my choice for God. God does the choosing, and Moses was the chosen one, guided from a son raised in the court of Pharaoh to now be identifying himself with the slaves, Hebrew slaves, of Egypt, and to call God's people to set them free from over 300 years of enslavement. They're out of the land, the time has passing, and coming near the conclusion in which Joshua will take the reins and go into the promised land. But Moses was the intermediary, the connected tissue by which people would discover who this Lord God is and why he acts in this way. I'm the one who called you back in the days of Abraham, hundreds of years before you as Israelites ever were born. I'm the one who has guided the people, and I am the God who's speaking to you now through my vessel, Moses. The words that Moses shares are words that are guidance and literally commandments. Jokingly, we kind of say, these are not 10 suggestions. These are 10 laws, commands of God for God's people to live by. Okay. So Moses has this veil so as not to injure the common people by the glory of the Lord that did a number on his face. You go over to the second reading of the day from Corinthians. We have this hope, Paul writes. We act with boldness because of what we know about God, because we've gotten the revelation. But you know, we're not like Moses. Moses had to cover his feet, his face, to keep this glory, this facial change for him, so that the people would not be injured or blinded. But unfortunately, Paul writes, their hearts were hardened until even to this day. As the old covenant is read in our synagogues, they are not hearing the fullness of God revealed. They are veiled. Now he takes a different meaning. It's a symbolic meaning of veiled, that is hidden from our view. As you know, there are some groups who say you have to approach God by earthly intermediaries. But that's not true. You approach God by directly facing him through our Son, by his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So consequently, Paul takes the advocate position that would really irritate the Jewish community, really irritate most people, that Christ alone is now the intermediary for us and God. And whenever we hear God's word and the Spirit moves us, for the Spirit of the Lord is of God, and it gives us freedom. We're not trapped through the rituals, through the traditions of the Old Testament. We all have unveiled faces, verse 18. We are able to see the glory of God now. Pause there. Kind of a reflective question, I hope. That sometime in your life, you have seen in a small way, because we could never absorb all of it, the sense that we stood or some situation put us before our God. That is to say, maybe it's the nature, maybe it's the beauty of the creation. I had shared with a class a week ago that for me, in my 20s, it was just looking over the city of Pittsburgh from Mount Washington and seeing the triangle and seeing the rivers and what humanity built, the skyscrapers, and realizing that God's glory was better than that. We are dwarfed by anything humans can do. The glory of the Lord is a vast thing, and we can only absorb it partially, or we would totally be consumed. The glory shines around the creation, Paul says, Romans 1, and yet people refuse to see God and the manifestation of his glory here. But if you want to have a perfect view of God, you do it by looking at his son, Jesus Christ. Therefore, chapter 1, verse 1, since it is by God's mercy we are engaged into this Christian ministry, we're not going to lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that people would hide, refuse to practice cunning and falsifying God's word. But by the open statement of truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everybody in the sight of God. It's a risky business to let yourself be exposed, not necessarily making a defense for yourself and just trusting God for your defense. It makes us vulnerable. Paul got a lot of beatings, tar feathered. He was thrown into prisons. He was whipped with chains and flails. You know, in the course of his life, it was never easy to talk about Jesus in a pagan world. You and I live in a pagan world. The gospel text is the actual heart of the transfiguration. So if this is new to you, I hope it's not. We repeat this Sunday every year, but from a different gospel's point of view. They're gathered there, Jesus. Three people come with him. Peter, James, and John. We would call them the inner court with Jesus. I hate to use the word advisors, but he would bounce things off of them. Listen to them. Share with them teachings. And in the course of this one, he separates them from the other nine, goes up to a mountain. They don't know what's going to happen. They know they're on a path that's going to be a collision with the Roman government. They know that this path that's taking them to Jerusalem is going to cost him his life, but also their life. So in that quiet moment, Jesus, James, John, Peter, they're gathered there. And then things start changing that allows them to see that which was hidden to human eye. They see the whole countenance of Jesus transformed. Believe me, scholars have had tough difficulty trying to explain what that's like. We call it the resurrection glory, but before the crucifixion. It is a Jesus unlike the one who came up the mountain with them. His fullness of his glory had impressed them. It shadowed everything, made it brilliant white. His clothing was changed. This is not the same man we came up with. Then two strangers. Oh, yeah, that was Moses. That was Elijah. Prophets of the Lord God. What are they doing here? They're dead. That's a good one to explain. They appear with Jesus. They're talking, conversing. Believe me, it's not for Jesus to get guidance from them. It's more confirmation for them what they were pointing to, but also to Peter, James, and John that they might believe. So as Peter is ready to jump at the chance, he says, and then the words are kind of stopped because they disappeared. So there's no longer Moses, there's no longer Elijah, there's just Jesus. It says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And as they hear that, Peter was kind of choked on his words. I was going to say, can we build three little symbols, little statues, something to make this holy ground? Claim it for you, Lord. And they couldn't do a thing because there was only one left. One left. As great as Moses was, he was far from being the Son of God. As well as Elijah taught and spoke the word of God, regardless of the consequence to the king and queen and the children of Israel, he was not the Son of God. Neither one of them could do anything redemptive, forgive sins, promise eternal life, except the Son of God. So one was left. And then they, ready to come down after they get their breath and probably process that experience, and they find this man with his son. These two, if you notice, the text puts it in parentheses. That's not because it's somehow minimized, but it indicates there was a passage of time to come back down the mountain, and now the encounter. And now the encounter is with a man with a child doing things that are harmful to him, embarrassing to the family, and best way to describe it, he was possessed. And Jesus calls that demon to come out of him. And he comes. The child now comes normal, well, whole, complete, because of the power that only Jesus Christ has. Many times, the audience will say, not in this passage, but what is this man, of course they always thought of Jesus as a man, that even the unclean spirits listen to him? It's not like they're looking for a real answer, because the answer is he's the Son of God, and you're not believing it. He has the power over heaven and over hell, and he wants all of us to be whole and complete. The God of grace that we know, and now as we conclude Epiphany with Transfiguration, we embark on the path and the road to the cross. And we understand that Jesus is the only one who can be sufficient for the removal of our sins. It's not going to be Moses. It's not going to be Elijah. It's not going to be a pastor, a priest, or a TV preacher. It's not going to be somebody on earth, but only the Son of the living God, who has been raised to be living with us and for us forevermore. May the God of grace keep us strong through this life until the life to come. Amen. Our service continues as we sing our hymn of the day, O Good Lord, It Is Good to Be Here.
Thank you.
please rise? We affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed as a witness to the nature of our God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers as Jane leads us.
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Open us to listen to your word and to do your will. Direct us in paths of faithful service that reflect your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the earth, your beloved creation and our fragile home, for mountains and prairies, for cities and wilderness areas, renew places we have neglected or misused, where natural disasters have altered the land, help us to honor nature's healing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the nations, shine the light of truth into world relationships hindered by mistrust or misunderstanding. Bring freedom and stability to all nations. Shelter those who have been displaced by war, famine, or natural disaster. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, free those who struggle with shame or guilt. Bring clarity to those whose judgment is clouded by fear. Comfort those who grieve and heal the sick. And today we remember in our prayers the family of Emily City that has suffered a severe loss of 4 family members. And we pray for the Kelly family and their son who are recovering from their injuries. We also pray and remember Iris Cook, Susan Phillips, Donald Seltzer, Jill Harper, Sharon Cunningham, Doug Abbott, Maria Ronk, Jerry Willer, Phyllis Akers, Ray Shinowski, and we also remember those that are serving our nation here and overseas. Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Soulier, Paul DeJohn, Jaron Soulier, Rob Nolan, and all those that have returned safely. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this assembly, deepen our faith and understanding. Guide our ministries of hospitality and outreach. Renew us in the baptismal promise to care for others and the world you have made. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died. Inspire us by their example and bring us with them into the eternal light of your presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We add to our prayers, Lord, the sister of Jim and his sister who's in the hospital seeking diagnosis and healing. Jim went as he cares for and thinks about his sister with such great distance of miles. For all who during this influenza are being stricken down, Lord, be with them and guide them in their healing as well. And now, Lord, receive our prayers. Fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And if you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. Once again, we thank our donor from outside the congregation family, but one with us in faith, sponsored our radio broadcast. Put on the back table a sign-up sheet. We'll try to do for the 7 o'clock Lenten service a soup and bread meal, light and simple, and not try not do one another and no desserts, but before the 7 o'clock service. We gather downstairs at 6 o'clock, we'll clean it up at 6:30, and then we'll come upstairs for the 7 o'clock worship. So if you're like to sign up, we have one person signed down, plus myself starting it off. They're on the back table, and we'll put a sheet downstairs as well. So please, if you like the fellowship time and plus a little nourishment along the way, take time and sign up. I want to commend to those who listen to us on radio, as well as those who of our fellowship of the congregation. If you have an email address, I do send out an e-letter every Monday. It consists of 10 to usually 14 pages, sometimes longer, depending what content we have for news related to this congregation. It's not a clone. It has some elements of the monthly newsletter. It is its own newsletter on a weekly basis, showing who's serving and what's coming up for that week. So commend that to you. Do want to say to you, because it wasn't available to us in the printing of the bulletin today, which will be next week, on Sunday, March 17th, between the two worship services, that's 8:30 and 11 o'clock, there'll be a meeting of those so we can do face-to-face conversation about ideas for the 100th anniversary. And Kathy, as well as Maxine Bachman, will lead us in that discussion. So set it aside. It's Sunday, March the 17th. Commend to all as you plan and saw your newsletter. We put together a schedule which we're going to do something on for the Lenten season on Wednesdays, Thursdays. On Wednesdays, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock, we have worship here at Our Savior. So if you're at a congregation that doesn't have an afternoon service and you don't go out, come on, join us here. We get people from the community to Our Savior, 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. On Thursdays, we have another experience when we participate with other brothers and sisters at St. John, not this Thursday, but starting the 14th. Then on Sundays, I'll be following the lectionary as I do all the time. So the lessons are lessons built into the three-year cycle of the lectionary from Luke's Gospel. So participate with us Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday, any of those times to meet your schedule. In addition to that, there's two Bible studies going on all the week. So we've got the Monday night study where we're looking at Paul and moving into the writings of the New Testament. We have on Wednesdays when the weather cooperates, we have the study of the book of Romans from the New Testament. So you can join those two experiences plus the three opportunities of worship. Many other things in your bulletin. Read, respond, look at the calendars. The dates I mentioned are quick and fast, but the newsletter has quite a bit, and the e-letter always has more. Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. If you'll please rise, we sing our offertory.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we may be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which our Lord was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After the meal, he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks. And he gave it for all to drink, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." So it's with this bread and it's with this cup we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. So let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table and feast on God's abundant life for you. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We'll be singing during the distribution, and we'll start with Blessed Assurance. Welcome to the Lord's Day. Now I can be heard. If you'll please rise for the blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ bless and keep you now and forever. Amen.
Amen. We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at your banqueting table with bread and wine beyond compare, the very life of Christ for us. Send your Spirit with us now, that we may set the captive free, use your gifts to build one another up, and in everything reflect your glory, revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The God of glory, fill you richly, name you beloved, shine brightly on your path. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Our sending song is, O Jesus, I Am Promised.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.